The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, good evening, everyone. It's nice to see you all. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Diana Clark. I'm happy to be here. Teach happy hour, for the most part, alternating with Nikki Murgafori, but it occurs to me, I think I've been here a number of weeks in a row now. I think Nikki's been doing some traveling, so. And the past few times I've been here, I've been reading some poems, which is a little bit of a new thing for me, but there's just been some poems that I felt kind of touched by, and I wanted to share with you. I'm noticing that the poems that I like tend to have a little bit of a whimsy to them, or some levity. Some of you might be familiar with some of the Zen poems, and I'm always kind of like scratching my head, going, "I'm not sure I really know what that is." So this one is, I don't think it's like that, but maybe it is. We'll see. So this is a poem. It's called "I Confess." It's by Alison Luterman, who teaches writing here in the Bay Area, I think in Berkeley. So she's a local poet. And I don't know exactly when this poem was written. I don't think it was too long ago, though. So it's called "I Confess." I stalked her in the grocery store, her crown of snowy braids held in place by a great silver clip, her erect bearing radiating tenderness, the way she placed yogurt and avocados in her basket, beaming peace like the North Star. I wanted to ask, what aisle did you find your serenity in? Do you know how to be married for 50 years or how to live alone? Excuse me for interrupting, but you seem to possess some knowledge that makes the earth burn and turn on its axis. But we don't request such things from strangers nowadays. So I said, "I love your hair." I don't know, I kind of like this, that right, there's this person in the grocery store putting yogurt and avocados in her basket, but she's radiating some peacefulness or some tenderness or something here that's noticeable to other people. It's like, it's attracts other people. And that's a big part about what meditation practice can do, is both to make it so that we are radiating some tenderness and that we might notice in our ordinary life when we're going to the grocery store, we might notice other people who are doing so, or we might notice opportunities in which we might learn something or gain something, or maybe an opportunity to have a flashlight shined on ourselves where we see like, oh, it seems like she knows something, which might highlight that we're looking for something. So maybe I'll just read this again. It's called "I Confess" by Alison Luterman. I stalked her in the grocery store, her crown of snowy braids held in place by a great silver clip, her erect bearing radiating tenderness, the way she placed yogurt and avocados in her basket, beaming peace like the North Star. I wanted to ask, what aisle did you find your serenity in? Do you know how to be married for 50 years or how to live alone? Excuse me for interrupting, but you seem to possess some knowledge that makes the earth burn and turn on its axis. But we don't request such things from strangers nowadays. So I said, "I love your hair." I don't know why, I can't stop smiling when I think about this. "I love your hair." Yeah. So maybe it's this, in the same way that the Alison Luterman, how she writes in this poem, how the person in the poem is looking outside, right? Also for maybe some direction of what to go, some sense of where knowledge, happiness might be found. And of course, a lot of meditation practices, we discover that we don't have to find it outside. We don't have to wonder which aisle it's in at the grocery store. And of course, part of meditation practice is loving kindness practice, which is what we'll be doing here tonight. And the way that I like to teach loving kindness practice is a way that has three elements. But maybe before I talk about the elements, I'll say that we do loving kindness practice as a way to maybe like incline the mind and incline the heart towards tenderness, towards peacefulness, towards some well-being also, openness. There's no guarantee that this practice is going to make loving kindness arise during our meditation period. But I think for those of you who have been doing this practice regularly, and I know this is true for me, my own practice, it starts to show up off the cushion, quote unquote. It starts to show up at the grocery store. It starts to show up when we're driving in traffic. It starts to show up when that person at work does that thing that really irritates us. It just makes it more accessible to have some openness of heart, to have some softness of heart. Makes it more accessible to maybe not fall into some habits that we might have of turning away or getting annoyed or saying no in some kind of way. Makes it a little bit easier to say yes to what's happening in the moment. So the way that I like to teach loving kindness practice, as I said, has three elements. And the first element is to bring to mind a lovable being. Somebody or some being for whom it's easy to feel warmth, care, love, friendliness, respect, goodwill, benevolence, whichever word speaks to you. There's no requirement that we have to like start where it's difficult. In fact, the recommendations and from the classic teachings from thousands of years ago are to start where it's easy. Right, we're creating the conditions and training the mind so that makes it more likely, or there's less barriers so that we can experience and express loving kindness. And just like when we're learning to learn anything new, we don't jump in with the most difficult thing. And there's absolutely no requirement that we have to make it more and more difficult in order for this to be more and more meaningful. We can, some people start and stay here where it's easy for quite some time. I don't want you to feel pressure that you have to go to where it's difficult. There may be an inclination where you feel like you want to, and that's perfectly fine. But if you feel like you just want to hang out where it's easy, that's perfectly fine too. So some people like to do for a lovable being. They'll use somebody that has really supported them and helped them in their lives. This might be a teacher, might be a spiritual leader, might be somebody you know, it might be somebody you don't know. Somebody that's like when you bring them to mind, there's some kind of like a smile inside, some kind of way. Often it's helpful to choose somebody with whom you have an uncomplicated relationship. So some people use other people. But some people find it's easiest and most comfortable to start with puppies, kittens, babies, you know, wherever it might be. I did find myself, I'm sure all of you have this experience, so I was watching a video that was of somebody that I wanted to hear give a talk. And then, you know, it wasn't too long before I was watching this little cat go into this little box and these little cat videos. And then I just found myself smiling and like, oh, it's so cute, these little kittens. So I don't know, I have that in my mind right now. So that's the first element, to bring to mind. And when I say bring to mind, I don't mean that we have to have a high-definition image. You can bring to mind any way that feels accessible, feels available. It may be different for different people. The key here is not to struggle or not to get tangled up into trying to make the image be something, you know, one particular way. So the second element is to use our experience of being in our bodies, our bodily sensations, to support us. It might be, it's no guarantee, but it might be that there'll be some sense of well-being, some softness, some openness, some warmth that arises as you start this practice. And of course, the mind and the body are connected. So we can use these sensations, these experiences, to support us. They don't have to be the loudest experience. They don't have to be the dominant experience. They can just be a small fraction of your experience. Doesn't mean it can't support you just because it's maybe a corner of your experience. So that's the second element, is kind of the checking in with the body. And then the third element is to help us, help the mind, help the heart remember that we're setting the intention to cultivate loving kindness. We can say these phrases. So I'll be offering these phrases and you can repeat them silently after me in your mind. There's nothing particularly magical about these phrases. It's just a way to give the mind and the heart a reminder to come back and to that we're cultivating loving kindness, this genuine wish of goodwill. And maybe the last thing I'll say here is that just because we're doing these practices and we're saying the phrases and doing these things, it's no guarantee, as I said earlier, that maybe these feelings of loving kindness will arise. It doesn't mean that this practice won't have an impact or have consequences. So see if you can be with whatever arises now without having a strong sense that it has to be a particular way or it should be different than how it is or something like that. Okay, so let's begin by taking an alert, upright posture. And take a posture that has some uprightness, but also has some ease and some comfort. You're also welcome to lie down if that seems appropriate for you, if that's supportive for you. And you're also welcome to, if you feel like right now, I think I really would like an extra cushion or something like that, you're welcome to do that too. Then we'll take three long, slow, deep breaths. We use these deeper breaths as a way to connect with the body and connect with the present moment. Sometimes having exaggerated movements makes it a little bit easier. And then to support a sense of arriving and a sense of openness, we'll do a little bit of a body scan. That is just checking in with different parts of the body. Might start at the head, the top of the head, the back of the head, and the eyes, and the jaw, nothing in particular needs to be happening. We're just bringing our attention to these different areas of the body. It might be that bringing attention to them helps them to soften. It might not be also. The shoulders, having the shoulder blades be away from the ears, the shoulder blades slide down the back, the upper back, the lower back, and the chest. Maybe there can be a really small movement that kind of opens the chest just a little bit. Maybe it's not even perceptible to anybody else. And the belly, can there be some softness in the belly? It's another place we often hold tension. Can feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion or the ground supporting you. Check in with the upper legs, the lower legs. And your feet. Feet are another place we can feel connected and grounded. And here, now. The upper arms. Lower arms. And the hands. Chances are the hands are touching something. Just bring your attention to that. Is it smooth or rough, warm or cool? Maybe you can also sense into the hands, the experience of having hands. There might be tingling, throbbing, pressure. We're just noticing. Again, nothing in particular needs to be happening. We're just noticing. And in the same way that we were investigating the sensations in the hands, we can bring that to the sensations of breathing. From the inside, what does it feel like to breathe? You might feel the movement of the abdomen or the movement of the chest. Maybe feeling the air going in and out of the nose. If you find yourself lost in thought, it doesn't have to be a problem. Just very simply, very gently, begin again. What does it feel like to have an out-breath? What does it feel like to have an in-breath? So this practice, mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, can be an alternative practice if loving kindness practice doesn't seem right, or perhaps you feel overwhelmed, or it just doesn't feel like the right thing for you to be doing right now. You can always come back to this, just feeling the sensations of breathing in a gentle, kind way. And then to begin loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being. Then you might check in with the body. Is there maybe a sense of warmth or openness, softness in some kind of way? Some people feel it in their chest, in the heart center. Some people feel it in the belly. There's no requirement to feel anything in particular. Just an encouragement to be a little curious and to every now and then check in with the sensations of the body. And then to help support our intention of cultivating loving kindness while having in mind the lovable being, can say the phrases: may you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. I want to check in with the sensations in the body and allow any sense of warmth or openness or tenderness, softness, allow that to support you. Maybe allow it to get as big as it would like. No need to make it be anything in particular. Just if you notice that, notice a sensation that's supportive, allow yourself to be supported by it. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. If it's helpful, you can modify the phrases to find words that resonate with you. Maybe they're words in a different language. So now we can build on this foundation of loving kindness that we've been cultivating for a lovable being and expand it to include ourselves. Of course, we'd give loving kindness to ourselves. For some people, that's not quite so easy. But we will do this in the same way. You can bring to mind either a visual image of yourself or perhaps the felt sense of what it's like to be sitting here right now. You might check in with the body here. Has there been a shift? Has there been a little change? And then we'll just change the pronoun in the phrases. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Some people find it helpful to put their hand on their heart as a way to support the warm-heartedness. And check in with the body. See if there's any experience of well-being, maybe a little bit of contentment, warmth, happiness. It might not be there too, that's perfectly fine. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then to supplement or augment or support our loving kindness practice, it can be helpful to do a little bit of equanimity practice. And for this, you can bring to mind somebody that you care about, that you have a relationship with in some sort of way, but also there's a little bit of tension or a little bit of maybe there's something that they do that you just find a little bit irritating. No need to choose the most difficult person in your life. We're going to start where it's easy. That is somebody which there's just a little bit of tension or irritation or something like that. So you can bring this person to mind. Might check in with the body here too and see it. Does the body feel the same? Maybe a little bit different? Maybe not. And then here we'll do a different phrase. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. And then to end this meditation, you can feel the pressure of the chair, the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So a big support for our meditation practice, any meditation practice a person does, can be to kind of like integrate it, an understanding of what happened or what didn't happen or an orientation that we took. Of course, meditation practice has an impact if we don't do that, but a little bit of reflection, a little bit of trying to put together and articulate some of the some of the findings, some of the, what the experience was like, can help it to be a little bit more rich and have a little bit more of an impact in the mind. So with that, as an introduction, I'd like to encourage you to get into groups of three. And you can talk about this meditation. It's welcome to say whatever you'd like. You can, as I often say, the range can be, I slept through the whole thing, I'm not exactly sure what she was saying, to, wow-wee, that was fantastic. So anything in between is perfectly fine. It's just an opportunity for us to kind of, it's less for you to tell a story to other people and more for you to have an opportunity to organize your thoughts around the meditation experience. And just an encouragement to not give advice to each other. This isn't about that. It's more about just to support our own exploration. So I didn't count. I don't know if it's divisible by three, so maybe there'll be a group of three or four, but if you'd like to get together and talk, and you'll have about 10 minutes or so.